Why is it that we who are so capable of imagining and to some extent embodying the possibilities of the divine attributes of loving kindness, of compassion, of empathetic joy, of equanimity, of wisdom, how is it that we can also be the perpetrators and the inventors of so much fabricated, so many elaborate systems that create suffering and destruction on this earth? And those are the questions that led me from a very young age to pursue this path of questioning and of doubt. So I relate to this story of Thomas very deeply. In Buddhism, the goal of our path and our practice is clear, sometimes called enlightenment, perhaps better called awakening, is in Zen Buddhism, which is a subset of Buddhism, very small one as a matter of fact, relying very strongly on a lot of meditation as well as manual work. And in Zen, the goal of our path and our practice is very simply and touchingly and powerfully said to be, in English, intimacy. And just as intimacy is the restoration of the world and self to wholeness into union, doubt is separation. And who among us, whether we call ourselves persons of religion or not, of spiritual faith or not, has not experienced the sometimes overwhelming anxiety, the cutting and fearful nature of doubt, capital D. When inevitably we have experienced or witnessed the slow or swift collapse of a dominant paradigm in our own belief systems and or in society. Who among us has not experienced doubt when we have experienced betrayal by one whom we had trusted, when we have doubted our own goodness, our own potential to love and be loved, to respect and to be respected? How do we prove to ourselves that what we believe is truth, is justice, is beauty, is indeed such? Where is the proof today? And these are questions I'm asking myself, April 28th, 2019, in this country and world where the term fake news has actually become common currency. Where is the proof today when we live in a country with a government of lies and the viral spread of white supremacy? Where is the proof, if we believe it, for what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, and he was quoting others who had come before him? Evil may so shape events that Caesar will occupy a palace and Christ a cross. But that same Christ arose and split history into AD and BC, so that even the life of Caesar must be dated by his name. Yes, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. Several years ago, I took a 2-day introduction to Kingian nonviolence training with my now good friend, and he's also been my Buddhist student, Kazu Haga. He's doing beautiful work across the nation with his organization, East Point Peace Academy. And of course, this is one of the, statements of faith, which is brought forward in the work of nonviolence, which can indeed be long and very painful. And I believe it is a statement of faith. Speaking as a Buddhist teacher, serving communities of color, the LGBTQIA community, low-income communities in Oakland and beyond, the faith in an arc of the moral universe is a statement of my faith, without which I would be unable to serve, and I'm able at this point to go on living. However, do I doubt that the arc of the moral universe bends toward justice? I do. The social ills, the violence of racialized capitalism and climate change bring despair intimately close to me. Just as it said that awakening is the experience of intimacy, it doesn't actually tell you with intimacy with what, or that it will be pleasurable intimacy. It is only through intimacy with the greatest of suffering and despair, the dark night of the soul, not once but many times in my experience as a practitioner, that there is a possibility, and it is not the certainty in my faith tradition. So there is always a very fearful quality to the practice, to the path of investigation. There is the possibility that with intimacy, with the deepest of suffering, then the capacity for the greatest of compassion can arise. Perhaps I'm conventionally defining faith as the ultimate concern of a human being. The Christian theologian Paul Tillich, in Dynamics of Faith, one of my favorite books, published in 1957, wrote that, "This is the risk faith must take, that there's no faith without risk. This is the risk which is unavoidable if a finite being affirms itself. Ultimate concern is ultimate risk and ultimate courage." That's a lot of ultimate. Excuse me there. If faith is understood as being ultimately concerned, doubt is a necessary element in it. Doubt is a consequence of the risk of faith. Doubt is a consequence of the risk of faith. So what does this have to do with Thomas? What does this have to do with us here today? And what and whom do we place our faith? How do we risk proving our beliefs to be true? Or do we? As I wrote recently in an elegy dedicated to my fallen brother, Arthur McGee, he died last July, a radical Black thought leader, practitioner of liberation theology. And I wrote this last October in California as our state was being consumed by wildfires, as we were still in the grip of a many-year-long drought. And I wrote, "Can anything be saved from the fires, from the sea levels rising?" In good Zen Buddhist form, I can honestly answer, I do not know. Can anything be saved? And affirming my own spiritual vows, the Buddhist Bodhisattva vow to deliver all beings from suffering, I can also honestly say, I will try. So this comes from a classic Zen Buddhist text, the Wumen Kan, the Gateless Barrier, from case 19. So the great Zen master Joshu, when he was a young thing, a student, he asked his teacher, "What is the Tao?" And it said that his teacher, Nanchang, said, "Ordinary mind is the Tao." From Zen teacher, my old friend, Robert Aitken's commentary, he said, Joshu was, so this is kind of code, it's come to us across many, many years and cultures, that when Joshu said, "What is the Tao?" Joshu was asking his teacher, "How should I practice in daily life?" Another way of expressing this in Zen is, with what am I most intimate? Therefore, in this very moment, which will never come again, in these bodies, always changing, you and me, what is the truth and what is the way to peace? The path to awakening from craving and greed that can never be satisfied, the path to peace from hatred that leads to violence. Through what processes, through what forms, are there universal forms of education that can free us from the bondage of ignorance, illusion that we cannot touch, can never truly know, love, preserve, and protect ourselves, one another, and the many living beings. So it's considered in my faith tradition in Buddhism that it is the illusion that we are separate from one another, that we can be isolated, that prevents us from protecting ourselves, one another, and the many life forms, including the planet herself. How do we awaken from this dream? Eiken Roshi also said, the Buddha Tao is the travail of spiritual longing. It is also the broad avenue of fulfilled spiritual purpose. And this opens, I think, the question for myself and the possibility that perhaps it is, in fact, our deep longing to know, our deep longing to ask, what is the path of peace in this time, in this place, that we find ourselves in these bodies? That within this longing itself, we need to be able to realize the broad avenue of fulfilled spiritual purpose. That we allow the question itself and the doubt itself to concentrate all of our energies to bring everything that we are together. And from this, for there to be a breakthrough in what these days is called innovation, we might call it out-of-the-box thinking, for answers, for solutions, not one, but many in collectivity that will help us, that will help all of us on this planet at this time. It's been said that if we could solve the problem by the same way we've always been thinking about it, we would have done it. So what we need now, I feel, are new ways of being, new ways of thinking, new ways of practicing, and new forms of intimacy. What do we most deeply long for? What do we cry out for with all our hearts, in full and glorious and suffering embodiment, at this very moment as the Arctic ice is melting? I invite you, and I accompany you because I'm sure you are already on this journey. I invite you, and I also accompany you on your own journeys, to follow our doubt, to engage intimately with our doubt, to allow our doubt to lead us into, or not, into the breakthrough of what we really believe, what we can do, and for all of that to help point us also toward the mystery of all we do not understand, of all that we cannot do, that we don't have the capacity to do. And the mystery of how this can be joyful, how this can be affirmative, how this can be the means that brings us together on the path of peace. May all beings be well and happy. May all beings be free from suffering and causes of suffering. May all beings be joyful and truly happy. May all beings live with joy and peace. Thank you.
Thank you. Amen.